Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Thank you very much for tuning in today. My name's Jimmy. There's three things in the world of Major League Baseball that I want to discuss. All three things have to do with the World Series and the matchup and the ratings and the revenue sharing. So it's just kind of World Series, three things. Every episode of Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. All right, sip of my drink and then we're talking. Thank you very much for tuning in. Yankees-Dodgers, crazy matchup. Major League Baseball is probably very, very excited. When I say probably, that is not a guess, or I shouldn't even use a soft word like that. They are very excited. Last year, you had two upstart teams. You had the Rangers and the Diamondbacks in the World Series. It was the worst TV ratings of the World Series in 40 years. Now, I am all for upstart teams and new faces and building new stars, but you don't really build new stars if no one watches it. So you kind of can't have two teams that are just like, whoa, first season, they're good. You know, sports need dynasties and big names and legacies. So if it was like Dodgers, Rangers, that would have been fun, or Diamondbacks, Red Sox, that would be fine. You got two going. I don't know if the Red Sox have that big of stars right now, but you get what I'm saying. Dude, they got the most stars like you could possibly have in two matchups. They got the most recognizable franchises. They have the MVPs and Aaron Judge and Ohtani. And we're going to do a preview on talking Yanks about the X's and O's. There's going to be a preview on talking baseball about the X's and O's. So I didn't really want to talk about that here. I just kind of wanted to talk about just the matchup in general, and I wanted to see if this is the most MVPs that have ever appeared in a World Series. Stanton, Judge, Mookie, Freddie, Ohtani, plus more. Oh, and Cy Youngs. I said MVPs and Cy Youngs. So this World Series up here features seven MVP winners and Cy Young winners. Seven. Last World Series featured two. Now, you want to find the last time we had seven? It was 2012. The Detroit Tigers and the San Francisco Giants. This year, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. And then Garrett Cole won the Cy Young. So that's seven. Now, Clayton Kershaw has a Cy Young and an MVP, but he's not active on the roster. Last year, you had Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. In 2012, we had Miguel Cabrera, Justin Verlander, Buster Posey, Max Scherzer, Rick Porcello, Tim Lincecum, and Barry Zito. Wait, but when did Porcello win his Cy Young? I thought it was after that. 2016, yeah. So that's not correct. And if you go down the list, 2010 and 2009, there were six. That's a good amount. 96, Yankees Braves had seven. And then 1988, A's Dodgers had eight. And 1983, Orioles Phillies had nine. So it's a long time. A long time. And I don't even think that 2012 one is right. So I think this is the first time we've had seven since 1996. Let's go check the 1996 records where it was Chipper Jones, Terry Pendleton, David Cone, Dwight Gooden, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Greg Maddux. A lot of Cy Young winners there. Only two MVPs. This is the last time we had that many MVPs. It's probably on the sheet. I mean, because the MVPs is crazy. Five, Stanton, Soto's never won one. I wonder if he finished top three. It's just star-studded, man. I was looking at the Yankees, and let me look at this, baseball reference. 2024 Yankees. And you know, you can see awards and stuff. The only one on here that hasn't, doesn't have an accolade to his name. I was doing MVP, Cy Young, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, All-Star, right? So however you value Silver Slugger and Gold Glove and All-Star, which don't ask me how I value them because I am probably less than you. But the only one on there's two players on the Yankees that have neither of those that start in the postseason. Austin Wells has none of those, and Verdugo has none of those. I think Verdugo has gotten MVP votes before in 2020, shortened season, but they're the only two. Stan's got an MVP. Soto has a ton of All-Stars and Silver Sluggers, probably. Rookie of the Year voting. He didn't get it, though. All-Star, Silver Slugger. Yeah, never. No MVP for Soto. Judge has Rookie of the Year, MVP, Silver Slugger, All-Star. And then I didn't do this for the Dodgers, but I'm going to guess it's very similar. Just award laden. Let's see. Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, Gavin Lux, Miggy Rowe, Max Muncy, Teoscar, and Will Smith. He's been an All-Star. Freddie Freeman, he's won an MVP. That's as easy as that goes. Gavin Lux, he has none of those, okay? Miggy Rowe is kind of hurt, but does Miggy? He's been an All-Star, right? No. Oh, I just pictured him in fancy shoes. Max Muncy, he's been an All-Star. Teoscar, All-Star. Home run derby champ. Andy, he's not going to have any of those. So maybe they have more. Hayward's got gold gloves. Shohei, we know. Mookie, we know. Kike Hernandez, he's got none of those. All right, so the Dodgers actually have more on the position players that don't have any of the bold on their name next to them. But their top half, well, dude, really two giant top halves. So I don't know. That was my first point. I wanted to see how exactly star-studded is this. And yes, it's very star-studded. And Yankees-Dodgers probably makes up like 15% of all fan bases. The next thing I wanted to look at, the third thing is actually more fun, in my opinion. But let's go to the next thing. What was it? Players that won a postseason MVP and were acquired mid-season because Sarah Lang had the great tweet. If you do not follow her and you like this show, then go follow her because she's got tons of stats. One postseason MVP acquired mid-season that year because that's what Tommy Edman just did. And then you have the 2021 Braves, Soler and Rosario. Love that. Steve Pierce in 2018, he just crushed that. Remember that? That was nuts. 2017, Justin Verlander, waiver wire pickup. They don't have the waiver wire trades anymore. Andrew Miller in 2016, Yankee trade. Marco Scudero, how about that name? Cody Ross, David Justice, 8 times in 15 years. That's way more than I thought it was going to be, actually. One thing I really wanted to dive into was the revenue stuff, because everyone is all of a sudden very upset that you can just pay a high payroll and win. And they're like, I'm not watching Dodgers, Yankees. You just, all you got to do is spend money and you're in. It's like, okay, to an extent, yes. But if you're not watching, don't worry. It's going to be the most watched World Series in a long time. People like high market teams. It's going to have all of Japan. It's going to have, I mean, the Yankees and Dodgers fans make up a ton. But also, it's just not true. Like, if this is what, if MLB wanted this, if you could just spend and you'd win, then every year there'd be, you know, two top five payrolls competing in the World Series. You do have to spend, obviously. But I put it all down because I was actually interested. Like, okay, how true is this? So on this sheet here that I'm looking at, yellow indicates two top five. Both teams in the World Series were top five in payroll, the bright yellow. And the light yellow is they were both in the top 10. And I went back. I could only find payroll numbers from 1988 on. So where both teams are in the top 10, you know, I don't know how many examples I have here. 15 out of the last 36, 41% of the last 36 World Series have featured two top 10 payrolls. Which I guess that, I think that's true. Like, if you want to win, you got to invest in your club and then you reap the benefits and the rewards of winning. It's kind of how it works. There are different market shares though. And what's interesting is you can see where things started to pick up as far as like CBA goes. Like here in 1995, when they came out of the strike, it's really a big chunk of all this happening together. I'm highlighting it right here. Like in 1995, the Braves were the third highest payroll and they faced the Indians who were the ninth. Then the Yankees faced the Braves and that was 1-3. And then the Marlins and the Indians played against each other and that was 7-4. And then the Yankees and the Padres, that was second. And Padres were 14th, so that was a little bit of a blip. Then in 1999, Yankees-Braves again. That's the number one payroll and the third. Yankees in 2000 were the number one. They faced the Mets, who were the sixth. 2001, the Diamondbacks were the 8, and the Yankees were the 1. So you went through that stretch there, and that's when they said, enough. Like, this is not good. And they went and they changed it. And I have the article here from a while ago. You know, during those five seasons in the late 1990s, none of the 14 teams in the bottom half of payroll spending won even one of the 158 postseason games played. Every World Series was won by a team with one of the top 7 payrolls. Is that the same as my data? D-backs I have is 8, but maybe they're not counting that. Oh, no, 5 seasons in the late 1990s. They could have done 8 seasons of the 90s. So 8 of the 90s wins came from a top 7 payroll. And that's when they started doing the revenue sharing. Hank Steinbrenner, when he got the voice of the Yankees, he was mad about. And what happened was, and like there's such a jump off in spend in the 90s because teams started getting their own TV networks and making their own money that was separate from the league. And they're like, well, that's not fair because each market has a wildly different market score and the ability to earn more money, which is still true. But the initial plan was hilarious. Not hilarious. It's funny, like, because the revenue sharing was like you just paid a percentage of what you made down. So in 2005, the Yankees reportedly paid out $76 million. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Rays, Toronto Blue Jays, Florida Marlins, Kansas City Royals each received $30 million or more. And what happened was under this first program, all the teams that don't spend continued to not spend because they wanted more revenue sharing. Same reason the A's are trying to get out of Oakland because that's a high market score. So they're not part of the revenue sharing, but they just said, hey, well, because Oakland, the stadium's so bad, we'll grant you the ability to get into the revenue sharing as long as you move. And then they move, so they're moving to a bad score so they can not spend and receive money. That's what happened, and you can see in the data, like, after 2002, all of a sudden, the Angels are 15th, the Marlins are 25th, they win, you get the 12th and the 11th and the 12th and the Phillies, so, like, it kind of changed, and then it went back. All this to say, just because you spend in the top 5 does not guarantee you're going to be in the postseason. You know, the Royals and Mets, they were 13th and 17th in payroll. It does help, though. And if you're a team owner and you want to spend money and you want to, like, get in the postseason and get the benefit of the added money you get there, then you have to spend at least a couple. Like, if I toggle this, since 1988, the lowest payroll to win the World Series, the Marlins in 2003, they were 25th. Then the Reds in 1990, they were 20th. 2017 Astros, the rebuilding Astros, they were 17th. Highest payroll on the losing side, look at this, the Rays twice. 29th in 2008, 28th in 2020. The Rangers were 27th in 2010. The Rockies were 25th in 2007. They went on that crazy run. Last year, the D-backs were 21st. It's not as simple as spend a ton of money and you'll be in the World Series, but it is as simple as spend a ton of money, get the best players, and you will be in the postseason, usually. Jeter used to say that. Like, yeah, you could buy a trip to the postseason, but you can't buy a World Series. I think Jeter said that in one spring training video. How many times has the number one payroll won the World Series? In the last 36 years, I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times. Yankees, 4 of them. Red Sox, 1. Dodgers, 1. And Blue Jays, 1. So a top 5 payroll has won 17 of the last 36 World Series. Payroll top 10 has won 26 of the last 36 World Series. And yeah, the Astros in 2017 messed that up and the Royals in 2015. Otherwise, it's a long stretch. So I don't know. If you're not going to watch this World Series, I guess you're not watching this video because I am so excited for myself as a Yankee fan, for Dodgers fans, and for, like, the industry. It's such a good opportunity for everyone to grow the game and get new fans involved. You know, the game will be put on display with the faster rules and the pitch clock and more stealing, hopefully more stealing, maybe not with this matchup, but just, dude, Ohtani, Judge, Stan, like, I hope this is electric. So obviously I am more biased and jazzed up because I'm a Yankees fan. It's going to be good for the game. Like, absolutely. I just hope the games are good. I hope we don't get blowout, blowout, blowout. I hope we get star-studded, packed, action-packed, games that change at the end, bullpen usage, back-and-forth series, long series. That would make me super excited if we got that. All right, well, I kind of blew through those. I talked way faster. Maybe I should have gone slower and talked more. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tweet out right now, recording Jimmy's three things right now. Throw some good questions. Bam. Zach Bryan and Breonna Chicken Fry breakup. Damn. First question I got was from Brent Gossett, which is, when is the last time we had this many true star players in a World Series? That was topic number one. So, like, that's a phenomenal question by Brent, but I already did that. While I wait for questions to pour in, here's some trivia for you. Who was the only big leaguer in the history of the game whose initials were UU? If you didn't get it, it was Expos pitcher Yugith Urbina. Even if another UU comes along, Urbina will probably always be the only UUU in the history of the game. His middle name is Urton. His brothers were Ulysses Utah Urbina and Ulmer Ulsus Urbina. That sucks for him. All right, let's check back in on the Twitter department, see if we got some more answers. Okay. Oh, the importance of the first inning in the playoffs. Two richest teams in the World Series. Does that mean you can buy a World Series? This was topic number two. Salary cap /4 and payroll discourse. Did this one already. Can Ohtani play defense? I don't know. Every gold glove finalist, best play and worst play. This is going to take a little bit, but I'll go get it. I'm not doing worst play. I got to make it as simple as I can with the tools I have available to me. So I'm using Inside Edge. They have a great system to do this. They provide this for me, which is awesome. I appreciate them, and it's a lot of fun. So what I'm going to do, I'm not doing AL, NL. I'm doing league. I am going to take all the gold glove finalists at that position, and I'm going to put their names into this system. And what I'm going to do is, they have defense and they have likelihood of play being made. And I'm going to go with remote, which means 1 to 10% chance based on all the data that they compare similar statistical plays to, like batted ball, exit velo, shift, running speed, all that, and impossible. And we're going to see who has the most plays. That would give them a leg up. And if there's an even amount of plays, then I'll choose who's the best, okay? Now, obviously, there's errors involved. You can have the best plays ever, but you also boot 50%, and you wouldn't get a gold glove. That's out the window in this exercise. We're just looking at the best of the best. How good you're good, all right? So the first position we're going to do is first base, because I did pitcher already shoddily, and catcher's hard to do because it's all about kind of catching. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to go. The ball is put in play. The first fielder position number one is first base. So we're not really looking at scoops. We're just looking at balls they fielded. First base, again, another odd position. And now fielder name, I got to type all these in. So we got Harper. We got Matt Olson. We got Christian Walker. We've got Nathaniel Lowe. Nate Lowe. We've got Mountcastle and Santana, Carlos Santana. Okay. So this is going to spit out all of the plays that were remote or impossible. The play was made and it was a ball hit the first base and the fielders were those guys. So Mountcastle is the only player that has a remote or impossible play made out of all of these position players. So Mountcastle wins the first base award. And that is a nice play. Diving down the line to get the runner out. Let's look at an alternative angle here. Now, one bounce right into his glove and a runner would have scored if it had got by. Nice play. So just for your curiosity, if I tag unlikely, which is 10 to 40%, because only one coming up is kind of crazy. Let's see. Santana has one, Mountcastle has two, Harper has one, Olsen has one, Walker has one. Wow. All right. This is Santana's play. Oh, yeah. Santana has a lot of good plays when you go to, like, you know, even. Here's Mountcastle. Oh, in the air. Oh! That gets some points on the fun meter. Olsen with one. Two runners on, one out. Oh, wow. Olsen running way back right. Does he stop the runner from scoring? That's a great play. And Jock's just like, damn, man. All right, that might be up there just because it's a little nuanced and fun. You're playing, you're not, that's not really a first baseman skill. There's Harper. That doesn't belong in the same category as the rest. And this is the, so per the rules that I establish and I won't break, Mountcastle wins. But if I had to vote my favorite play, it's the Olsen play by far. And the second baseman eligible to be searched are Ketel Marte, Bryson Stott, Bryce Terang. How about that? Are a lot of people talking about that? We got a Bryson and a Bryce. Jimenez, I mean, he's got to be it, right? Lopez, Nicky Lopez, and Marcus Semien. Those are the eligible people. And I'm going to toggle off unlikely and just go remote and impossible. I just want the best of the best. A lot of balls hit the second. Wow, only one. Jimenez. Oh, in the postseason. Yeah, this was such a good play. 10th inning, one out. Postseason doesn't count for voting, but this was such a good play by Jimenez. The ball's behind him. Snags it. I mean, it's a great play by Naylor too, but just to go over this, look at this. This ball is behind him. He's racing it down. It's going to get past him. He snags it. Usually you'd switch to the ground and throw from your butt. He stays on his feet. Look at this movement. And then it's like a spin to a jump throw. And he goes for the bounce pass, which they're taught because that'll help him a little bit. And then Naylor makes the grab, which is nice. I'll toggle on unlikely and we'll see what happens. Jimenez is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Terang has 1, 2, 3, 4. Marte has 1. Stott has 1. Semien has 2. So it looks like Jimenez wins. And then it would be Marte. Dude, he's so good. This is a double play that he turns. Oh, oh, oh! Didn't turn the double play. That was awesome. Some of these I just, you know, just got no look behind the back flip. Now, credit to Rocchio, who fields that on the hop. That's awesome play. Here's another one. This one's in the air, so he runs and tracks it down. What? I've never seen that either. He runs and tracks it down. It hits off his glove into the right fielder. He grabs it for the out. Oh, fuck. That's cool. All right, this one. Against the Royals, against Vinny. Line drive caught, or is that one bounce? Jimenez wins. He has the most and he has the best, even though it came in the postseason. Let's switch now to third baseman. I think I have a feeling I know who's going to win this one, but we will clear the names and plug them all in. We got Arenado. I think it's going to be the guy playing where Arenado used to play, not a lot. We got Chapman. We got Ryan McMahon. I think it's going to be him. We got Alex Bregman. We got Ernie Clement. And Jose Ramirez. And let's toggle off unlikely and just do impossible or whatever. All right, so we have 3 from McMahon and 1 from Chapman. So I think McMahon is going to win John Boy's Gold Glove at third base. How good you're good. That's a really nice play. Tracks it down, makes the throw. You wouldn't realize how good that is if you didn't watch baseball for a while and realize like he had to go a ways to get it. 3-1, down, oh, dives and pulls it back, comes up firing. That's a nice play. Now, this next one that toggles through is going to be, kind of does look like, you know, a rock. You got the story look. This is going to be Chapman. I see why they're saying that's unlikely. Some guys might not even get it. It's not your traditional play. And then there's one more from McMahon that comes up. 2 runners on, 1 out, down the line. I mean, he makes that look routine. And per the data, not everyone makes that play. McMahon wins. Shortstop players deselect. We have Swanson, Tovar, Ezekiel. We have Mason Wynn, Rocchio, Roki, no, Volpe, and Witt. Is that a lot of names at the end of the alphabet? Volpe, Witt, Wynn, Tovar, Swanson, Rocchio. I'd say that's all second half of the alphabet. Alphabet stats. Let's see how many of these guys. Oh, Swanson, Wynn, Rocchio, and Witt. Okay, here we go. So according to the website, neither Volpe nor Tovar had a remote or impossible play made. The other four all had one. So this is up to us. And when I say us, me, unless you guys want to vote in the comments, but this doesn't, remember, this doesn't mean anything. Swanson, here's his play. All right. I mean, that didn't do anything for me. Up the middle. Okay. These are good shortstop plays. Oh my goodness. Double bouncer. I hope this Bobby Witt Jr. play is just like a web jam. Oh shit. He's just sprinting out. I like that play the best. Man, those other ones, I guess they're rare, but they weren't visually pleasing. Let's see. I'm just going to go to unlikely and see if we find any more visually pleasing. Witt has it based on that. These are all the next level. Quick release, one hop. That's nice. Let's see this one from Witt. Oh, that was cool. Diving stop. Here's a Volpe one in Seattle. Up the middle. Oh, yeah. That one ate him up a little bit. I stay with him. I like that. Rocchio one. Grabs it, spins, fires on a bounce. Bounce passes your friend, Vinny, to Rocchio. Knocks it down, grabs it, throws. Those are fun. These are all fun. What's this? That's interesting. That's Tovar. This is Volpe. Damn. All right. I mean, that I expected way more out of the remote and impossible plays made by shortstop. I thought that was going to be our best section. It wasn't really. Congrats to Bobby Witt Jr. Now we're moving on to left field. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., my guy Ian Happ, Marsh, Verdugo, Kwan. He should win, right? I don't know. Actually, Couser. Left field is an interesting one because I feel like the best plays in left field are not eye-popping plays, like deep into the corner. Okay, there's only one. Kwan has the only play that is, and this is in the postseason. So much like his buddy Jimenez, I don't know if this counts. This is Kwan in the postseason. Clase's pitching, eighth inning, tying run. Oh, and it was, is this a disputed? Did he catch it or did he not catch it? We're just going to get the hell away from that, okay? We're going to go to unlikely. Because it was postseason. I didn't make clear rules about the postseason. We have Happ has two. Verdugo has three. Marsh has one. Gurriel Jr. has one. Kwan has two. So Verdugo wins per my first rule. Congrats to Verdugo. Gold glove, how good is your good? He's got the most of this category, which is the unlikely place. Now this is Happ coming in. Interesting. Good jump. I'd love to know their calculations. Here's my guy, Verdugo. Similar play to Happ. So some guys might not just be getting good jumps on those low liners that you really got to get a jump on. Who's this? Harper hits a fly ball. This is Gurriel. Bullpen loves it. Yeah, all right. Here's Happ again. Another line out. So I'm going to guess this is another like sinking line out in front of him. He gets a good beat on, catches it. According to the numbers, when guys do that, it's rare. Most guys don't do that. Here's Kwan. That's in the gap, and that's up for a while. Similar play. Kwan again against Boston. And that's it. Ooh, I liked how he did that one. Verdugo line out. So the numbers say these don't get caught a lot. Oh, this one's slicing down the corner. That's going to be a little different. Yeah. Man, you got to get a good jump to make that grab. I didn't expect Verdugo to have the most. Who's this? Marsh? Did he catch that? And this is another Verdugo one. Wow, first series of the year. Oh, yeah. Track that one down. Outs above average, outfield jump, 2024. I'm interested to see if the guys that we're naming are good at jump or route. Verdugo. Verdugo grades out positive reaction, negative route. Those are usually yin and yang. If you're a great route runner, usually pause a second and your reaction's not great because you're identifying the best path to the ball. You're letting your brain calculate. If you're great at burst and reaction, your route's usually not that great and you just make up for it with your speed and your quick reaction. It's usually how it works. So let me look at Kwan and all these guys. Are they all reaction? Because those low liners seem like they're reaction guys, not route. Kwan is better route runner and reaction, but his burst. Okay, so when he hits the middle stride, he's going nuts. And then Hap had a good amount of those as well. Ian Hap, yeah, not good route or negative. Not, it's not bad, but the reaction is positive. Isn't that always interesting? That always blows my mind. Jacob Young, this is all outfielders. Jacob Young, when we get to center field, you'll see him. He's incredible. He's got a 4.7 reaction, but a negative 2.6 route. And then you have other guys like Kiermaier's crushed all three this year. That's cool. Rafael Sedane? How do you say it? Sedan? Why am I blanking on how you say his last name? He's negative route, but fast reaction and burst. In center field players, we have Doyle. I believe Doyle and Young. Let's go to this. Because Young, I just said on this page, Young is a great reaction, decent burst, negative route. His speed makes up for it. And if we go to Doyle, he is negative one reaction. Burst isn't crazy, but very efficient route runner. I think he's the most efficient route runner. Yeah, he's the most efficient route runner, right? So it's just two different ways to play outfield, which I've always been a little fascinated by that. Like when Trout and JBJ were out there, they were doing it way different ways. So we have Brenton Doyle, Jacob Young. We have Blake Perkins, Varsho, Myers, Jaron Duran. Jacob Young is my pick. I hope he wins out in this. He's so good. Okay, yes. Look at this. Young has two unlikely, and Doyle has one. So Young wins. Let's watch the plays, though. Here's the first one by Young. Bam. High fly ball. And he gets all the way to it and scales the wall. That's awesome. Okay, now here is Doyle. And that's just in the gap. And that's interesting because it's a perfect route. Hurt himself on it. Don't like that. Hurt his shoulder. And, oh, this is Ohtani. 3-1 count. Two runners on. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is Doyle. Oh, yeah, that's Doyle. Shit, I wish I made my rules the best play because Young had the top two in this category. Unless I toggle this off and I toggle remote off and one of these three was impossible. No, because it's impossible. That would be like a trick if they did that. Damn, okay, Young wins, but Doyle won me over with that play. I just found out another task I want to do, and maybe I tackle it to the end of this, or maybe I don't because this has got to be long now. Let's go in play. Right field, Sal Frelick, Jake McCarthy, Yastrzemski, Soto, which is hilarious because he doesn't have any plus plays. We'll put his name in there. Adele and Abreu. Will you're Abreu? What do I got? Yeah, okay. So remote and impossible talk down. Only one by Sal Frelick, and that probably adds up. That probably adds up. Let's see what Sal did on this one. Ooh! Went up and got it. Is that the second pitch of the game? And he goes up and gets it to rob? Oh, no. Well, second pitch for the Brewers. They had already scored. Wow. Corbin Carroll trying to tie it up right away. For funsies, let's toggle on unlikely and see what comes up. Yaz has three. Frelick has two, but he had the one that was the best. Here's Sal again. down the line, sliding. Nice grab. Let's look at Yaz. Yaz has three. Looks like these are more like lineouts again. Whoa. Hot shot, though. So it looks like these lineouts on this metric favor reaction, guys, because that was a hot shot. And this one again. Oh, that's a really good play by Yaz. And the third Yaz one. Bam. Nice. All right. Now I'm going to go back to the, I'm going to go back and see where he grades out. He is negative reaction. Well, he grades out kind of, he's positive route, but it's not one way or the other. And I'm not doing utility because what the fuck does that mean? You want to win a gold glove, you got to be good enough at one position. I mean, people get so mad at me when I say that, when you say I'm talking baseball, like, what are we doing here? It's like Zobrist came around and people were like, this is a thing. No one's really done it. Whatever. I'll do it. Okay. Because people are going to get upset and they're right. There are people that get like jobbed out of an award. So we're going to go Brendan Donovan, like her, like Kike, it is valuable, but you know, give me the best at a position. Triolo, Dubon, Dylan Moore, Demo, and Castro. And then I guess over here, I got to go in play and just choose all of them. I toggle off unlikely and see out of all the utility guys, who had the most? None. Adds up. Okay, who had the most unlikely plays? We're saying this could be any position. Donovan has 1, 2, 3, 4. Moore has 2. Castro has 1. Dubon has 1, 2, 3. Hernandez has 2. Donovan, you're our util gold glove. Let's see a couple plays you made. That's nice. Where's this one? Are they all at the same position? Because I want them spread out. Maybe it's who's got the most at different positions. Okay, there's Donovan in left. No, why did I say Mauricio Donovan? Brendan Donovan. Here's left again. Again, that line out that seems to be really heavily favored by this. And this one, another to left. So he's got 1 at second, 3 to left. If someone has more positions, I'll give it to him. Let's see what D-Moore is. D-Moore has 1. This one's at second. That's a nice play. That's a nice diving play. This, and he's got only got 2, right? So he can't even beat him out. Is that one at short? Up the middle? Dubon has 3. If he has 3 different positions, he wins. The first one, he's in right field. He makes a nice catch coming in. The next play, where is he? He is in third base. Okay, if this is not right field or third base, Mauricio Dubon wins. Let's see where this ball is going to be hit. Center field, your utility gold glove, who has the most high-level plays at the most positions, Mauricio Dubon. And there you go. There's going to be a lot of other stuff that I'm going to do. Maybe we use it next week, maybe not. See ya.